Hi, it's Noor Haider, one of the hosts of The Guardian's daily news podcast, Full Story. Every weekday, we bring you a single story, going beyond the headlines and taking you closer to The Guardian's journalism. Combining personal storytelling with analysis, we take you inside the stories that matter most. For fearless, independent reporting that holds power to account, listen to Full Story from The Guardian.
Solvents. Coming up, the US holds interest rates, but where to next? Markets fall and super funds on track to return 9% this. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the SBS On The Money podcast for this Thursday, the 18th of June 2026. It's a day where the Australian share market fell, the S&P ASX 200 down 0.6% to 8,911. That's as the US Central Bank pointed to possible higher interest rates later this year. And that's despite the Fed Reserve holding them at a range of 3.5% to 3.75%. Tech stocks fell the most, along with the miners. So for more, I spoke with Equity Trustees Chief Investment Officer Darren Thompson. Darren, so two key developments overnight that hit the markets. Let's talk the first one, the US Fed Reserve. Interest rates in the US on hold, but it's left the door open for higher interest rates. So run us through, how significant is this? Given it's Kevin Warsh's first meeting as chair, remember he's Donald Trump's pick as chair, and what does it mean for investors because markets fell along with the Australian dollar?
Yeah, look, it's a great point. I thought it was really interesting. I don't normally watch the Fed's press conferences, but I did watch this one. And frankly, I thought he came across as very credible. I actually thought it was a positive for markets in that he made some key points. And first was that I think he reinforced that he was going to maintain the Fed's mantra around price stability and full employment. And he certainly came across as being his own man. And I think that's very important for the credibility of the Fed, which I think is good for market stability. So even though markets fell because he came across as hawkish, i.e. the likelihood of interest rates being higher than expectations prior to the meeting, even though the expectation for rates to stay on hold, obviously the discussion was around really trying to stay on top of the inflation issue. And he was saying that inflation certainly was well above the 2% target. And it's really important for households that that burden of inflation isn't persistent. So he certainly talked the talk that he was going to focus on the fundamentals and not necessarily be, I think, torn or guided by political considerations, which is, I thought, was a real positive.
What do you think that the market thinks about the direction for interest rates? I mean, we saw on the dot plot where half of the governors at the Federal Open Market Committee said that they expect anonymously that interest rates were likely to be higher, or they think they should be higher. Is the market taking that view as, yes, rates will rise, and what does it mean?
Yeah, I think one other thing that he did, that Warsh did compared to previous chairs, was that he really wanted to pull back from giving too much guidance. So even though they retained the dot points for most of the governors, he himself didn't put out his own dot point, and he really didn't want to give too much forward guidance. But as you said, half of the other governors have indicated one more rate rise. So I think essentially the averages are that around about another 15 basis points of rates being higher than this by the end of the year. But then by the end of 27, the expectation that rates will be down by about 20 points. So the path is up and then down.
Okay, so we've got the direction for US interest rates, but on the flip side, we've also got a potential peace deal with US and Iran. To what extent is that giving you or the market confidence?
Look, I think if you based any decision on a Trump-Iran peace deal, you'd be going crazy over recent months. So obviously there's cautious optimism that the MOU will hold, and that I think as we've talked previously, there's mutual interest for both the US and Iran in finding a way out of this conflict, and probably both sides will claim victory as they do so. So certainly I do think perhaps the tail risk has come out of it, which means that I think markets can focus a bit more on the fundamentals rather than the geopolitical risk. So that has subsided a little bit. And we've obviously seen that in energy markets, with oil now under $80 a barrel, but certainly not back to the levels it was pre-conflict, because I think there is still a little bit of risk that this MOU doesn't hold, or that there's further you know, there's a further sting in the tail, if you like. But I think it goes back, that means we start to focus on the fundamentals. And in that regard, you know, economies like the US are actually growing quite strongly. And there's actually quite decent growth underneath the surface, driven by AI demand and a range of other factors. And I think the market's really focusing on those factors and less so on the geopolitical risk just at the moment.
We've got about 2 weeks left until the end of the financial year. Super funds are on track for a 9% return this financial year, which is, I mean, it's pretty good considering the volatility that we've seen. So what's your message to investors and for super fund investors, given their potential returns and given the volatility and all the uncertainty in the global economy?
Yeah. So firstly, I would say if you could bank 9% a year, every year for the rest of your life, you'd take that in a heartbeat. 9% per annum is actually great. It's giving you, it's well above inflation and it's growing your wealth in real terms. So that I think is a great outcome. And that's come on the back of a few years of very strong returns. So what that means is, and really it's been driven by global markets. Our domestic stock market has been a little bit weaker than that, but global markets have been strong, reflecting those strong economic conditions, particularly in the US, that AI thematic and other drivers. And also infrastructure assets have been quite strong. So that's brought together that solid performance. What it means, though, is that markets, after that strong period, consecutive years of strong growth, valuations are fairly full, so it needs that underlying economic growth to continue to push markets further. So I think we're going to be dependent on underlying earnings growth and economic activity to take markets higher rather than sort of any re-rating of markets, if that makes sense.
You mentioned AI. I'd love to talk about the AI theme and I guess the space sector. We saw our shares in SpaceX, that's Elon Musk's company, pull back a little bit overnight, down about 5%, but it's had a stellar debut on the market and the first 3 days of trading up by about 50% combined, right? How do you feel about the AI and space sector?
Yeah, no, I'm sure as a consequence of that pullback, Elon's very concerned that he's now down to his last, you know, $1.2 trillion or so. But look, at the end of the day, it's not really being driven by valuation at the end of the, it's being driven by, prospects and long-term possibilities, if you like. So it's really not valuation driven. The space sector, I can't opine on it with any great, definitiveness around valuation, other than to say that what is driving the market is clearly demand for the stock. And also there is obviously a range of indices that are bringing that stock into their indices over coming weeks, coming through till the end of June. The S&P 500 being an exception, but other indices will mean that passive buying will also be there to bolster the demand for the stock. Going back a level to AI, there are really strong fundamentals around AI, though. You know, it is real. We're obviously believers in the technology. It is a fundamental step change in value to a lot of businesses. So it is real, and the way that we're playing that through portfolios is in a range of ways. Domestically, we don't have a lot of direct AI companies to invest in, but we can invest in data centers. We can invest in companies like Orica and others that provide, you know, input into that thematic. Globally, our managers are in the semiconductor space, in memory, the things that go into facilitating the AI trade, not necessarily the AI companies themselves, which are a little bit more difficult to value.
So, and just wrapping up, what are you telling your clients right now? Where do you see the opportunities for investors?
Probably consistent with what we've been talking about. Really, the domestic market is a little bit challenged. You know, our market with the concentration risk in, well, concentration in banks and resources, there's a couple of challenges in those big sectors. But globally, economic growth is really robust and particularly driven by that AI spend and AI thematic. The US in particular, pockets of Europe, even emerging markets still offer quite strong, fundamentally driven growth. And so we still think we're cautiously optimistic, but we're wary around the potential for an unwind in the Middle East and geopolitical risk to emerge. And we're also wary of that inflationary pulse that going right back to where we started the conversation, the reason why interest rates are edging higher is that inflation still is sticky, both in the US and here. And that really probably will start to dampen consumer sentiment and consumer demand. So the risks are really, risks and rewards are reasonably balanced, but we're cautiously optimistic that fundamentals will drive markets steadily higher over the next little while.
That's Darren Thompson on the money on SBS World News weeknight, 6:30 on SBS. The podcast returns tomorrow. It drops after the market close, and I will catch you there.
Starting a new life in Australia isn't easy.
A lot of companies have rejected me.
Sometimes I feel like, oh, I'm gonna quit, I've given up.
Work in Progress is a podcast to help skilled migrants rebuild their careers in a new country. You'll hear inspiring real-life stories, expert advice, and valuable tips to help you find a job and advance your career. Work in Progress. Listen now wherever you get your podcasts.